What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Man, show going 2 hours west of here to Birmingham to UAB, where new head coach is Trent Dilfer for the Blazers. First game, A&T, the season coming up here real soon, getting ready for it every day here in camp. Coach Dilfer looking good over there as UAB gear. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, man. I'm fired up to do this.
Yes, sir. Coach, let's ask you, man. You know, I was telling y'all off air about my mom being from going to Lipscomb, graduating in 71, being at Lipscomb Academy. Do you see this opportunity coming for you as quick as it did, getting in football after being in broadcasting and now getting the coaching? See it coming as fast for you, Coach?
You know, I really didn't have a timeline, to be honest with you. When I stepped away from TV, retired, played a bunch of golf, realized that wasn't for me, wanted to give back to the game. Really, it was that easy. The game has given me so much, and I wanted to give back and never thought I'd coach high school football. It was never really a plan. But it was kind of a calling. I know that sounds esoteric, but it really was. I felt like I needed to give back. Why it was at Lipscomb, I still don't know, except I loved it, loved every part of it. It was really hard, which was good for me to do hard things again and get a community to buy into that stuff. And then I never had my eye on college football. I was approached a bunch of times and asked good questions and, you know, did the mental gymnastics around it. And then it just wasn't the right time or the right place or whatever the reasons were. And then this year I kind of felt the same way. Like, I'm not going to do this. I was being pursued by a few different places. And my wife really is the one that said, no, you know, I'm going to step in on this one. You're getting bored. Like, you've kind of done what you could do at Lipscomb. There's not much anything else you can do. You need to go climb another mountain. She used that exact term. She's like, you need to go climb another mountain. And I'm like, okay, you're right. You know, I'm a mountain climber metaphorically. I need to do hard things. I need challenges. So that got me thinking, and UAB was the right fit. It was in the Southeast, state of Alabama, you know, recruiting hotbed, easy to get coaches to come to Birmingham. A good foundation was already laid by Bill Clark and Bryant Vincent. Just a lot of good things. So, it excited me, and I have not been disappointed. It's been one of the best rides so far of my life, and I'm undefeated to this point. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I'm enjoying being undefeated, and you know, I'm just fired up about everything we're trying to do here.
So different, like you said, location so great. Alabama, you get to Florida, Georgia, Texas, Tennessee, Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana. Has so much talent. But Birmingham with a short drive, 5 hours either yep. way, and just build this roster out the right way with guys who fit that culture that you're going to build there.
Yeah, and great kids. You know, I think there's another piece of that. You know, sometimes when recruiting is talked about, you forget about the type of human you're recruiting to, not just the athlete. These are kids that have great values. They work hard. They don't know any other way. Football matters to them. They know that football in the South represents more than just winning and losing, right? It's a sense of pride for their communities. There's natural rivalries built in. There's recruiting battles that are built in. There's just so much that matters in the South and relates to football. The thing I've been most pleased by, again, and I'll go back to this, is, you know, they're coached well in the high schools in the South. They have good core values. You're not pulling teeth to get them to practice hard, work hard, buy into something. They just need to be led. You know, they need to have hope. They need to have purpose. And that's what we're trying to do here is every single day. Yeah, we're trying to win every game we ever play, but more importantly, we're trying to win the kid. You know, we're really trying to help the individual reach his potential. They are student athletes. You know, I raised three daughters that have all been Division I athletes, and I understand the value of that degree. I understand the process of learning how to learn in college. So, you know, we really emphasize the holistic college experience, not just the football experience. And I really believe it makes them better football players because they're learning to make better choices and decisions off the field. And I think that's going to pull over onto the field.
So different for me. Leaving Atlanta was good for me to go in and I went to Tennessee State across town from Lisbon. I went to Tennessee State, but Lisbon had football, so I couldn't go there. So I went to Tennessee State. So, but the fact that leaving Atlanta, getting a degree in business has really helped me post college because I have a radio show I've been doing 14 years. I applied my business acumen for my degree and those networkings really helped me get sponsorships. So all those things, Coach Different, and these young men are experiencing, like you said, holistic experience. It came back for me already, and I'm living the fruits of it. So getting that degree, getting those internships, getting those network opportunities, and Birmingham being where how it is in Alabama is situated, it's so much for those young men to do off the field as well as on the field.
Oh, it's amazing. And this city, I mean, what a great opportunity. And I'm not trying to do this as a recruiting pitch at all. I've seen coaches go on and brag on their city, and you're kind of rolling your eyes like he's just doing a recruiting pitch. This isn't a recruiting pitch. This is simply Birmingham's becoming one of the hottest cities in the Southeast. And it's a mecca for business. It's got healthcare, it's got banking, it's got all the amenities of the hospital, which is a $12 billion economic impact on the city. But it also has the Nashville crowd coming down. So the networking of that hotsy snotsy Nashville, Tennessee thing. It's got Atlanta coming over, right? It's got these really sophisticated southern communities that are migrating here in Birmingham. And it's really an opportunity for these student athletes to connect with difference makers when their playing days are over and jump in and have your experience. Use a degree from a great institution, use their time playing football to network and create a group of people, surround themselves as a group of people that can pour gasoline on their career development. So, you know, we're very aware of that. And we make sure we've already done four or five events where we bring the community in here and get our players to interact with them so that they can see that this is, you know, there's a long-term player. Man, I played 14 years in the NFL. You think that sounds like forever. You would think that I would think about that a lot. It's like a blip on my radar. It really is. Like, I don't define myself by my football career. Yeah, football gave me more than my wildest dreams could ever imagine. But I don't identify as a football player because life after football is
Yes.
more impactful because it's that time of your life when you're raising a family. You know, I always say this, I thought I knew something in my 20s. I realized I knew less than anything. The 30s, I thought I figured it out. I realized I was ignorant. My 40s, I was like, okay, I finally figured it out. And I realized I only know a little bit. And now I'm 50 and I'm like, okay, maybe I'm starting to figure this out. But it's a little more impactful the older you get because there's more at stake. And when there's more at stake in your life, it's more impactful to you and the people you influence. I say all that, you know, we're looking at the long-term play. Like, I want to be in these kids' weddings. I want to be their godfather. I want to see their kids
Yes.
graduate from high school. And I know that what we're putting on it, the standards we're putting around them now, the disciplines we're teaching them how to make good, like I said, good choices, good decisions, that may not always pay off in their 20s. Right? I know I was a knucklehead, even though I was having
same
a family.
Here. Guilty as charged.
Yeah, it might. Yep, it might start to pay off in their 30s. But, you know, I'm the son of a coach. And too many times I'd be at breakfast with my stepdad. He's my stepdad, but I had two really good father figures. I'd be at breakfast with my stepdad, and some 50-year-old would come up to him and be like, "Coach, you changed my life. I didn't figure it out until I was 35. But I've been killing it since I was 35, and I'm still using the values that I learned from you when I was 16, 17, 18 years old. So we're kind of betting on the come, I guess is how you would say. You know, we're betting that down the road we do this thing right. Yeah, we're going to win a lot of games. Yeah, we're going to do some cool stuff at UAB, but we're going to help change these young men's lives for the better."
Coach Dilfer, you and I had a similar background. My father's a coach here in Georgia. He'll be 85 years old on Saturday.
Let's go. Happy birthday.
I see my father's players the same thing, the baby showers, weddings, events with players. So I'm living it right there with my father. We're here on Father's Day, those guys who we played 50 years ago still call him, who was like, "Hey, Mr. McHenry, thank Coach McHenry, thank you what you did for me." So I see for my own father.
No doubt. I mean, Billy Graham said it right. He said, you know, the most important person in a young person's life is going to be coach. And you know, here's a guy that, you know, helped change a generation. And he said, no, the most impactful person in a young person's life is a coach. You know, what coach says is so impactful. And we got to be very careful what we say, because they're going to do it. You know, when mom and dad say it, when teacher says it, kids will go, okay, maybe. But when coach says it, they go, "Yes, sir," and they do it. Well, there's two sides of that. One, I appreciate the impact that has, but there's a responsibility and a burden there for what you say. You know, I had a young man in my office yesterday that I basically made a spreadsheet mistake that affected his life. And I could have just said, "Hey, I made a mistake. Get out of here. Go about your day." Instead, I said, "You know, he's going to remember this moment." And I asked for his forgiveness. I said, "Hey, will you forgive me? Like, you don't have to, we don't have to be reconciled, but will you forgive me?" And he looked at me like, "Why? This is my coach. This is a guy who won a Super Bowl. Like, this guy runs a program. He's asking for my forgiveness." But what I was trying to teach him is that, you know, you make a mistake, and I made a mistake. I need to ask for his forgiveness. And then I got to work towards reconciliation with him. Like, I got to earn his trust back. And we're trying to do that in this program where we're teaching him life lessons. Because yes, one day he's gonna say something to his kid. Like, I've done this as a father where I act out of anger or frustration or say something I don't want to say, and I hurt my kid. And I want to reconcile with my child. So I go and I start by saying, "You know what? Will you forgive me?" That was a hard lesson to learn. Like, I was in my 30s before I could humble myself to do that. Well, now this 20-year-old is watching their coach do it, and he's going to be more open to do that at a younger age. I tell the kids all the time, you know, you don't have to make a mistake to learn from it. You can learn from my mistakes. And I'm 51 and I've made a lot of them. So let me tell you about them and then why I made that mistake. And then hopefully you can learn from my mistake and not make the same choices and decisions that led to my mistake. And now I just saved you the pain of having to learn from your mistake. So again, I think I take this as a parenting opportunity as much as a coaching opportunity. I don't know if you know my story, but right up there is my son. See that picture above the door?
Yes, sir.
So I lost him when I was 5 and a half. When he was 5 and a half, sorry, to a virus that attacked his heart. So when you lose your second child, he'd be 25 right now. Obviously, we've gone through an unimaginable pain and healing that goes through that. But every time I look at these kids, I really do see him. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not intense. That doesn't mean we don't coach hard. That doesn't mean any of that stuff. But I do first see my son, and I'm like, you know, how would I want him treated as a college football player? And I do think that separates us a little bit. Like, our building, our staff meetings aren't injury report, practice schedules, how are we going to win this game? Yes, those are part of it, but it's, hey, how's your position room doing? How's their mental health? What challenges are they going through? Have you checked in with their mom? Hey, do you know if their sister has a cheerleading competition this week, or their brother has a basketball game, or hey, is dad sick? Like, we call it relentless engagement. You know, we're trying to relentlessly engage with our team so they have, I don't want to say father figures, but they have mentors in their life that care about them, regardless of where they are on the depth chart. And I, you know, who knows if it's going to work, right? I'm a high school football coach. I don't know if it's going to work. I think it's going to work. I believe it's going to work, but it's how we're going to do it. And if it doesn't work, they'll fire me and I just won't coach anymore because that's the way I'm going to coach.
I think it's going to work, Coach Different, because I would have loved that in my career. No, I feel like at some point in my career, I was a number out there.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was just, hey, as long as I'm catching balls, I'm good. John's good. As long as 14 is getting the slot, learning the right route, getting the ball, he's okay. But do you care about JR the person? Now, after my career there, yes, it's a relationship is different. But I feel like at the time, Coach Different was like, what can you do for me right now?
Yeah, I feel you. Joe, I feel you, man. I saw it happen too much. I didn't have that experience in college, but I saw teammates that did. I didn't have that experience in the NFL, but I saw teammates that did. I studied the college game. When I was at ESPN for those 9 years, you know, I studied the high school game, the college game, and the pro game, and I really was connected to that recruiting period, you know, helping kids go from high school to college. So I was kind of seeing both sides of it. And I saw so many times where, and my daughter's experienced this to a certain degree, where you're told something, it sounds really good, and then you go there and you experience something very different. And every time I sit with a parent in recruiting and we're, you know, committing a kid or he's decided to come here and we're going to give him the experience, I'm like, here's a conversation I don't want to have with you, mom, you, dad, you, grandma, you, grandpa, is that you lied to me. So let's talk about the truth right now. And you hold me to what I'm telling you, because I don't want that to I don't want the kid to feel like a number. I don't want him to feel like I lied to get him here and then turn my back on him. I met with the freshman the other day, just the freshman. We do a weekly time with the freshman. And I'm like, hey, please, freedom to speak. Anybody in this room can speak. Have I let you down at any level? I know it's hard. I know you're miserable because it's training camp. I know you're lonely. I know it's hard to adapt to college life, but have I, the coach, let you down from what your expectation was? And I had a kid literally say, you know what, coach? I don't know if you let me down, but I got sick the other day and I didn't feel like I was totally cared for. And I'm like, that will never happen again. And it was nobody's fault, by the way. Like, it wasn't our trainer's fault, but I should have been more on top of it. And now it's something that I'm on top of. That a kid gets the flu and he's been away for 2 months. I mean, you could be scared in that situation. He's 18 years old. Yes. I remember crying. I remember calling my parents crying, like, oh, no, I can't do this. I'm good enough. I'm lonely. I need you to come get me. So I remember that. I remember my daughters calling me. So I just think it's an empathy for what they're going through. Yes, don't mistake that for not high standards or demanding or any of that. We're very demanding, very high standards. We have an empathy for what they're going through, and we want to meet them where they're at.
Now, Coach Different, now I know you're new to this college game, but do you feel like with the portal and the NIL that's helped you get better high school kids and maybe get overlooked by the Power Five guys and maybe some guys who would want to take an opportunity now rather than try to wait out that Power Five offer that may or may not come?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Everybody asks about, like, there are formulas. Is there a trickle-down effect? Is there a hypothetical where an SEC school goes to the portal because they're trying to win a national championship the next year? So a really good recruit from the year before is going to be a scout team guy again. Does that trickle down to the UABs, to the South Alabamas, to the, you know, the group of fives and elsewhere? The answer is probably to a certain degree, but you don't see a tidal wave of it. What you're really seeing with the portal more than NIL is relational equity. You're seeing guys that had really good relationships in the high school space and recruiting over their time. When a kid enters the portal, they reach out because they remember how they were treated by that player. They remember by that coach. They remember the connection that was made. So I think you're seeing that. I think you're seeing really good seniors in high school not being recruited because, like, they're third on everybody's list, and then everybody goes to the portal first before taking what we'd call a developmental guy. So I think you have to structure your roster in such a way. At least this is what I do, and I don't think I'm giving any secrets. I'm sure other people do it, but you know, I structure my roster of, you know, guys that can help us win now. And then guys that can help us win a championship later. And if you look at it that way, then it's not really portal high school. It's just a different way of looking at a player. Like, we have some players right now that are probably not physically developed enough to play and help us win now. I will be shocked if they're not early round draft picks in 3 years. Like they're this close to being superstars, but they're a year away from strength. They're a year away from being men, right? And this is a man's game at this level. So you got to develop that part of your roster because you know it's going to be really, really good one day. And at the same time, you're trying to win every game you play. So it's almost like you have two rosters, to be honest with you. And high school was different, obviously. It was but a similar model, right? You have the haves and the have-nots, but the have-nots are just as important as the haves on the football field. And a lot of times for little Johnny, who you knew as a freshman was real probably never going to help you win a football game, but boy, you could help him if he could cover a kick by his senior year. And you could help him by helping him develop into a really good teammate and teach him life lessons. So you were kind of doing the same thing there. You're trying to get your studs, all the guys who went to the SEC or group of five are going to go next year. You're trying to get them ready to win every game, which we did. But at the same time, I spent a lot of time with the junior high program and the JV program, and the freshman program, making sure they were growing too. Their ceiling's not as high, but I still want them to reach their potential. And I've kind of taken that approach here. It's like, yeah, it's different, but it's the same mentality. It's you matter. You're not a number. Right? You're not a number on a roster. You matter as much as our superstars. You may not get the reps he gets, right? But mm-hmm. You get the swag, you get the nutrition, you get the coaching, you get the attention, you get all the resources we pour into you because you matter as much as the superstar.
100%. And Coach Dilfer, I love your non-conference schedule. You know, I feel like it's going to prepare you for that tough AAC play. That was probably already done for you when you got there. But as you use these four games to prepare for the AAC play, are you struggling for steady improvement every week to get ready for those eight games where it really matters for getting that conference play in there, Coach?
No doubt. You know, I have nothing to do with our scheduling, right? I'm a new coach that gets scheduled, but I was pleased to see this. You know, you have four really quality preseason opponents, one being the best team in the country. So you get and you have different styles. Right. Yeah. I think that's important for us, too, is we play four different styles in the preseason. A&T is going to be a great challenge. Yeah, they're really good players. They're really well coached. We know where these coaches come from, what their pedigrees are. Like, they're really well coached. They have really good players. And they're going to be hungry. Right. They're going to be hungry. And it's everybody's first game. And then to play Georgia Southern, who has a ton of people back, a coaching staff that's done at the highest level. You know, veteran people in key positions, that's going to be a war daddy. And then Monroe's good every year, right? I mean, every single year they're good. And then do all that and get to go to Athens as the icing on the cake. So I'm excited about it. Listen, I think I said, I'm a mountain climber. You know what I mean? And metaphorically, like I like climbing big mountains. This is a big mountain. We're going to keep climbing. We're going to keep stepping and try to get better as the year goes on. I've been around a lot of football. Not saying I have it all figured out, but I've been around a lot of football. The one thing, the one truth in football is if you get better every week, right? If you can just have a mindset to get better every week and a program that values that and people that buy into that, you really can't lose the journey. Your record may not always be what people want it to be, but you ain't going to lose the journey. And good things are going to happen. So we're very mindset on having a big vision, but also keep stepping towards getting better every day.
Coach, I got two more for you. One, I'm going to ask you this, man. What has been your favorite food spot to eat in Birmingham so far?
So do you know what a great town this is food-wise?
I sure do.
Oh, my gosh. Like, it's one of the country's best foodie towns. My wife and I now, we were empty nesters, so we're foodies. In fact, I don't spend money on anything. Now that I look at it, the only thing I spend any money on is food. But I don't want to give one because I have quite a few. I put on 30 pounds in my first 2.5 months here because I ate out every single night at one of these places. I've just recently lost it. La Fresca, on 2nd Avenue North, Bamboo on 2nd, Bottega. I mean, Full Moon Barbecue. Don't mess with the Full Moon Barbecue now. This has some great barbecue spots. you know, I kind of hit them all. So I feel like if I don't say more, I'm going to offend the owners and the managers.
You know, we'll let it happen.
But everybody knows, if you want to find me, for instance, tonight's what, Wednesday, you'll find me at either Bamboo or La Fresca. In fact, tonight I'm making a decision right now on your show. I'm going to La Fresca tonight. I'm going to leave the office early. I got to take the dog home. I'm going to put her up and I'm going to walk to La Fresca tonight.
Now, Coach, I know you've been a whirlwind and been very busy this new job, but when you have some downtime, man, what's some things you did that's kind of have some fun and relax for you from to turn off being Coach Dilfer for a little while and be dad and a husband, man?
Yeah, so I'm a new grandpa. So this is my grandson, Decker.
Congrats on that.
Thank you. That's an old picture. He's 13 months. So it's the greatest thing ever. And every grandparent's right now saying, amen, Coach Dilfer, amen. It's the best thing ever. You've all the cool parts of parenting without the bad parts of parenting. So that's amazing. So every chance I get, I'm with him. I started playing golf again. I hadn't played for 4 years. I started playing again. It was really a nice, like the coaches were kicking me out of the office in May. They'd be like, Coach, you don't need to be here. Like, we got this. The kids aren't here. Like, get out of here. And I'm like, no, I can't. I got to work harder than anybody else. And they're like, no, get your butt out. You don't realize you're getting ready to go on a marathon in season. So about first part of May, I started going out in the afternoons, late afternoons, evenings, and hitting golf balls and playing again. I ended up playing 25 times through May in the summer, which was a lot, but it was really nice to get away. I got my game back to a certain degree and was able to reconnect with some old golf buddies and meet a lot of cool people in Birmingham. That was the other thing too, is, you know, one of the cool things about golf, whether you play it or not, you know, it's 4 hours with people sometimes you never met, and some of them end up becoming your best friends. So I really met some cool people here in town. You know, my wife met some people, which was great. It's always hard for the wife more than the husband.
Oh yes,
in the coaching profession. So she was able to connect. That's really it though. Like between my grandson and playing a little golf and my wife and I, you know, checking out different food spots, I'm not real exciting anymore, man. I'm 51. I'm a grandpa. I'm not real exciting.
Same here, Coach. I'll be 40 in March.
Oh, let's go. You look good for 40, man.
Yeah. I'll be 40 in March.
You don't look a day over 39.
I appreciate that, Coach. And I will see you on November the 4th, Coach. A little bit to my schedule, it works out good. Florida Atlantic game, I'm gonna hit up Ted. I will be there to see you guys, man.
Well, Ted's right here on the opposite side of the camera, and I will make sure you get the VIP treatment.
Yes, sir. Coach Dilfer, it was fun talking to you, man. I enjoyed our chat, man. We just can't stay in contact, man. And I always loved your work, man. And I know my mom is gonna be very happy. She sees our chat.
I'm gonna give your mom a hug over the computer real quick. So I'm gonna unplug this thing. This is for your mom's right here, right next to my heart.
Thank you so much, Coach. It was fun, Coach.
You got it. That was fun.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline. When the game starts. What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.